selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for the war, they shoot, they kill, they mass on parade, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little radio station on the internet. And today is the 16th of March, 2017. And it's actually sunny here today, which is a nice change of pace. At any rate, I'm your host for the next hour. And I'm happy to say that the men and women of this nation seem to be waking up in record numbers very, very quickly now. It's taken a long, long time, and it has taken some very serious efforts by some very dedicated men and women to bring the truth forward. Most people for many years didn't want to hear the truth, didn't want to know the truth, too hard to handle, and they just kind of kept their heads down and kept hoping everything would turn out right. Well, those people now are being pushed against the wall pretty hard, which I've been waiting for a long time, and so I'm very pleased to see. I'm not pleased to see people pushed against the wall, don't get me wrong, but I'm very pleased that it's happening, because the people are at least having to wake up now. Because we can't get this sorted out if people remain in snoozy land. So it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. A lot of people have been hurt so far financially. When a country as rich as this is throwing its seniors out on the streets, we have a problem. We have a huge problem when citizens in this country who worked their entire lives to help build this nation or find themselves forced to sell their homes because they can't afford the taxes, they can't afford the hydro bills, they can't afford their medical needs. That tells you just how nefarious this so-called government is. And they've always been that way, but they move very, very slowly to their goal. They move and they do it in such a way that most people can't see it. It's like sitting there watching the grass grow. You really don't see the grass growing. Now, if you go away for a week or two and you come back, you'll notice the grass is growing. But if you just sit there and expect to see it growing, you won't see it growing. But you'll notice in a couple of weeks that it's long and it needs to be cut. And that's what they do. You know, they just let you watch the grass slowly. You don't notice it growing. That's how slow they move. And before you know it, you're buried in the long grass. And they've done this for centuries. And they have an end game. And that is the end of all the nation states. Bringing the world under one house, not the House of Windsor, but the House of the UN, which owns the House of Windsor. So, as bad as it is, it's going to get better. Some people say it's going to get worse. How much worse can it get? Well, it can get plenty worse, I suppose, because one of the next stages is to basically, what they've been doing for years is to indebt the hell out of people, easy money, and then when they get you so buried in debt, that's when they pull the plug and jump interest rates up. And it is going to be devastating for a lot of people. But we need not put up with it. Okay, we need not put up with it. We need to get control of this. We need to take back our nation. And we need to round these SOBs up and haul them in front of a court of law. Not the legal system. They own the legal system, but court of law, where they stand before the jury of their peers. They own the legal system. They own the political system. And that's what you're enslaved by. And you are really enslaved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is a form of slavery, and you're born into slavery. And for the most part, you die in slavery. You, they use conversion on you to convert your, to change your status from a man to a legal entity. Ruled by the corporation, which sees you only as an account. You're born in a corporate hospital. When you die, you're buried in a corporate graveyard. When you're born, the account's opened. When you die, the account's closed. Seems kind of hard and heartless, but that's just the way it is. And these people that run our lives are a very, very sick bunch of individuals. And they've actually screwed themselves up. You know, they, as Elizabeth Dowdeswell, our lieutenant governor and disciple of Morris Strong, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, how would somebody like that end up as the and head of the ex-head of the of UNEP, which Morris Strong started, the United Nations Environmental Program? How would somebody like that end up as lieutenant governor of Ontario? Well, she has what it takes, and there's a video out there on YouTube, so where Elizabeth Dowdeswell is bitching and complaining about how fed up she is with this slow incremental movement toward their goal. Let's just get it done. She said she was antsy all the time. She couldn't figure out why we're going so slow. Why don't we just go get it done? Make an event and get it done. Then after in that video, she comes to the conclusion, okay, maybe these guys are right, basically. Maybe we have to continue the slow movement. Well, the movement's moving fast now. Way faster than they can contain and control the thoughts and the minds of the people. They're not taking the time now to let things normalize at each stage. And they're pushing from all kinds of different directions now. And they used to take a thing and then move it forward, have it normalized through the media and the schools and the TVs and the movies and all that kind of bullshit. And they'd be formulating the next move, but they'd wait till things got normalized and people kind of more or less accepted what they'd put forward. But now they're moving on so many different issues and from so many different directions at the same time, even the dumbest of the dumb have to go, what the hell is going on here? And that's the ticket. And that's what's waking people up more than anything. Now, a lot of people, when they start to ask the questions, they go looking for answers. And that's where those who've dedicated so much time to research and that, so much time to understanding this game that's being played, that's where finally we can have some effect. Up until recently, we really couldn't have the effect, speaking of, there's one right there, a gray young, it's right at the front door, you see him? Sorry for the interruption there. I just saw a cat walking up the sidewalk, and we were wondering how come there were no cats around here all winter. But it wasn't a very cold winter, so no sooner did we discuss that at supper, and up the street comes, or up the sidewalk comes a cat up to the front door of the house. And earlier, before supper, this big male skunk come walking up the sidewalk, and you can tell it's spring because he's looking a little tattered. So I guess the young skunks and the young raccoons are just around the corner. But those there things, they won't bother you too much. You know, a raccoon might get in your garbage and a skunk may spray somewhere, but that dissipates pretty quickly. The real damage is not being done by the skunks and the stray cats and the coons and that and the porcupines. The real damage is being done by these people that have conned us into believing that there are superiors and that they're looking out for our best interest. Now, these are the vampires and the vipers and the politics that have been feeding off us for so many generations. Now, there's a story out in Alberta. I'm hooked up with a Facebook group out of Alberta. I used to live in Calgary and Edmonton and worked all over Alberta. And they're getting plenty pissy out there now, which is a good sign. Apparently, the deputy premier called those who disagree with the NDP, called them sewer rats. And that was directed at the hard hat class in Alberta, which is a huge class of people, because they don't like what they see going on there. So I guess it's kind of like Clinton calling Trump supporters deplorables, the deputy premier of Alberta called those who dislike what's going on, call them sewer rats. And apparently a sewer rat is a lower status than just a regular rat. That's the bottom end rat, I guess. But the rats are in the houses of power. That's where the rats are, and we got to root them out. We most desperately have to root these clowns out of here. Now, a lot of people think that Canada is a sovereign nation. It's not a sovereign nation. We're still under the House of Windsor. We are a Commonwealth now. We were a dominion where they had dominion over us, and now we're a commonwealth with them. Well, I guess the only common part of the wealth is them sucking the wealth out of our country. Now, Elizabeth Dowdeswell has met the Queen. Elizabeth Dowdeswell is over here at the castle. And our premier, Kathleen, the radical lesbian, is over at the Queen's place. And the conservative leader's over at the Queen's place. And the funny thing about Elizabeth Dowdeswell is most people don't pay any attention to her, which they should. She is, after all, in place of Queen. And the Queen is the head of the state, known as Canada, or the corporation known as Canada, Commonwealth. They control everything. They control the wealth of this nation and keep most people much poorer than they ought to be. So Elizabeth Dowdeswell is a UN broad. She is a more strong disciple, Rockefeller disciple, Rothschild disciple, sitting as queen in place. Now, how the hell does that happen? The queen don't notice this shit? Of course she does. Because she's part of the game. Now, this is one thing that really messes people up, or they don't want to know about. Right now we're on a liberal bashing, an NDP bashing game in this country. And that's completely wrong, because all parties have been involved in this slow down takedown of our nation. I keep saying, oh, I wish I had Harper back. Do you really? Wasn't it the conservatives that signed us on to UN Agenda 21, a more strong Rockefeller, Rothschild, Queen, Prince Philip creation? It was Mulroney, a conservative, that signed us on to it. So how does someone like Elizabeth Dowdeswell become the Governor General of Ontario, when she's been connected to so many international organizations over the years? How would that happen? Who recommends her to be in that position? The Queen? No. The Liberal Party? No. Well, who then? Well, how about Stephen, I wish we had him back, Harper? Was the one that put Elizabeth Dowdeswell in the position of queen in place. Dowdeswell. It just sickens me that people are still running this left-right nonsense. And if you're talking to anybody anywhere who's right or left, it won't make any difference. Ask them how long they've suffered their mental illness. Because you're going to have to shake them out of their little sleepy place somehow. You get them to understand that these are two snakes, the right and the left. You know, whether the vampire bites you on the left side of your neck or bites you on the right side of your neck, it really doesn't matter. You got bit by the vampire. Go look at etymology. Look up the word party. You will see what it means, to divide. And you've been divided. Democracy means to divide. It's all the same game. Keep the people fighting amongst themselves over things that do not matter, so they ignore what's right in front of their frickin' faces. But then, you all went to public school. You all went to the corporate school. Now, why would the corporate school teach you anything, anything that would be worth anything? You go to the public school not to be educated, but to be kept ignorant and also taught to be subservient. It's the only purpose of public school. And to bust the norms as each generation comes down the line. And that separates what? The families. Each generation is attacked. What your mother and father thought was normal and entertainment that they we're shown that this is what they will enjoy, when the next generation comes along, all of a sudden the norms change and the entertainment changes. And it's been getting uglier each generation until there are no moral values left. And then they can basically feed you whatever the hell they want is normal. And they've been doing it. So, if you live in this province, or whichever province you live in, or whatever state you live in, don't just look at those that were elected. Look behind those who are elected, and you'll find the real string pullers. Is what you're going to find. Now, I put this silly little picture I did up last night. I'm not exactly sure why I did it, but I did it. Seemed the right thing to do at the time. But I did it kind of as a test because I thought it's kind of out there. And I thought, okay, what kind of, am I going to, how much nasty feedback am I going to get off of this? And to date, none, which is a really good sign. It's an extremely good sign. If I put this up 2 years ago, I would have found this bit of a pain, I think. This is a picture I did up last night of our premier here in Ontario, but like I was feeding people, it doesn't matter. You know, this says Kathleen Wynne, but all you need to do is just replace that name with any elected official in your area, your province, and you're going to come back with the same thing. It's the very same thing. There's no difference. It is what it is. So I just put this out, and I was expecting some nasty feedback, but I think everybody's starting to understand now. I was saying on the last show, I think I got into it with some people that were really pushing Israel and the Jews and that. And I asked some simple question, and they jumped all over me. But some simple logic applied, they shut up real quick, which was kind of interesting. Before it would have turned into a ridiculous situation. But I think even they are starting to get it, that we're not laying down anymore. You want to scrap with us? Bring it on. We know what the hell we're talking about. This childish yelling and screaming stuff is over. It doesn't work anymore. Anyways, just to give this thing a little bit of balance, you know, because I really wanted to see if people got any of this stuff. And I stuck this along with the picture, this comment, I guess. It's getting extremely positive feedback. And again, I said, like, if I'd put this up 2 years ago, I'd have got slammed, man, from everywhere. But that doesn't seem to be happening so much anymore, which is a good thing. Now, tomorrow, I had a little chat with Michael Schmidt earlier today, and I was in the courtroom at the time, but so I just messaged him to see what was cooking and let him know that we're going to be coming over there tomorrow. And so I asked him, you know, what actually took place with the judge, because there seemed to have been some sort of a problem. Now, I was in the courtroom for a lot of the testimony, and and what I was asking him is what took place there, because my understanding was that the judge was not too freaking happy with the testimony of the star witnesses, one being this gentleman named Jarvie, who used to be a Hamilton police officer who managed to get himself into the government and then came straight, as soon as he got in there, he was told to come straight after Michael. So what I asked him basically, was, if I can find this. Come on. Yeah, I just said to Paul, who's over there with me, mentioned something about the judge Stryker not accepting Jarvie's testimony. Is that correct? He says, well, Jarvie testified without the judge's knowledge on the stand. He testified on the stand without the judge's knowledge from his witness statement. When the judge discovered that the others were trying the same thing, he did not allow that or raise the issue with the judge. He is considering the credibility of his statement, I guess. Down the toilet anyhow, because he has been so far out with his testimony that he can't retract it now. And so what it seems to me is that the Crown works with the government agents and the police to try to formulate a case, and it's up to the Crown to formulate a case strong enough that there's a very, very real chance of conviction. So these are not the notes that were taken on site during the raid. This is the information that the judge wants. So what they did was they went and they got the crown. They sat down with the idea they're going to nail Michael Schmidt and these other guys, and they formulate this plan. They write stuff down, and that's what they were using for testimony. It wasn't from their notes. And the judge caught on to that, and he ain't a happy camper. And it's pretty funny because I confronted the crown during a break. It was even funnier because the police circled the wagons around her as soon as I started to speak to her. They just made a nice tight little circle around the crown. And but unlike in the past, there was no uppiness. And that's a huge change. There's nobody pushing and shoving. There's no threats of arrest. There's no shut up and all this kind of stuff. They allowed me to speak to the crown. The crown didn't even look at me because the crown knows when she dragged us through court, it was the same horse shit. And there was no chance of conviction. And so she pushed ahead with it. And knowing that her neck was on the line, she got transferred out of there. And the trial was conducted by somebody else. The prosecution was conducted by somebody else, at which they never did because they never even brought the charges forward. So I told her that she doesn't have a hope in hell of a conviction of Michael and the others. And you're showing a pattern of what you're going to pay for. She went back into the courtroom, and that's when all hell started to break loose for her. She's pretty confident up to that time until the judge started questioning the testimony of those that she worked with in order to build a case against five innocent men. And she's getting quite nervous now. So tomorrow, we'll go over there, and I'm not sure if they'll bring a cow that will milk right on the front steps of the courthouse or not. They've done it before. I'm not sure if this one's high profile enough to worry about it. But I will be getting my milk tomorrow, and a couple of interesting witnesses tomorrow for sure. I don't know if there's going to be any more government witnesses, but they'll be calling George up to the stand, who spent, I think it was 165 days in jail when he got out on his 65th birthday. He's an organic farmer. That they went after because he didn't want to play the name game anymore. So while they won't allow him in this trial because he showed up the day the trial was really getting underway, and there was a search warrant, a warrant out for him for not picking up his summons. Like, when the hell is it your responsibility to go to the police station and pick up your summons? It's their responsibility to deliver it to you. And he walked in and just said, "Hi, I'm here. I guess I'll jump in on the trial, seeing as I'm one of the accused," and the judge wouldn't allow it. Said he'd deal with it later. And so George will be a witness tomorrow. And Enos Martin, who was picked up three times on the same warrant, assaulted quite badly once, and managed to drag some police into the ones that hurt him, caused him harm, into court through a private prosecution, and only have the Crown dismiss it, which we expected, because they're there to protect each other. It is a protection racket. And so now he's launched a civil suit. And so I think it was after he launched a civil suit, and after he'd been to court at least eight times on these particular charges for the remands and looking for disclosure, which always withheld from the people. When they was getting closer to come to trial, they went the last time there before the trial started, the Crown withdrew the charges on Enos. Not because Enos, other than the only reason they withdrew the charges is because he's making them damn nervous. And they don't really want him testifying. Well, Michael and them are going to call him now that he's been dismissed or discharged. Michael and the others will be calling him to the stand to give testimony tomorrow. So this could be a pretty interesting day. So if you live in Ontario, or if you're really rich and have a private airplane, and want to fly in. But if you're, within an hour of Waterton, Ontario, and you got some time tomorrow, I would welcome your presence there. Support is always good. It's always an interesting thing because there's nothing like going to the play at the courthouse. It's free admission too, by the way, and you can hang there and meet some very interesting people. Like I was telling the reporter last time I was there, and I've known the guy off and on for a bit. I don't know him that well, but I know of him and I've met him before. And he was always sitting out in front of the out in the common area, and I wondered why, because the reporters were in the courtroom, and he said he was a witness. He was summoned, and so he's a witness, so he can't be in the court. But we discussed the media a little bit, and he's just freaking appalled. The media's always been crooked, but he's just appalled with it now. I mean, he just shaking his head, and he's probably, I'm going to say, early 60s, and he's going, how am I supposed to stay in this business? This is really bad. So even some of the media people, you see, the moral, the right and the wrong and the moral, you can only dismiss it and look away from it so long, and then it's going to come and bite you. It's really going to come and bite you. So here we go. This is over at the Bovine. I just noticed this now. He just put it up a little bit ago. Farmer Michael Schmidt reports on the trial of the five accused in Waterton. So this is over on the Bovine. And we'll just look through here quick and see what we got. Okay, let's see what Michael's thought process is on this trial here. 6 weeks after the standoff at Glen Colton Farms on October 2nd, 2015, five arrest warrants were issued. As a result, Michael Schmidt, John Schnur, Robert Pinnell turned themselves in at the West Grey Police Station. They got arrested, fingerprinted, mugshots were taken, and then they were released. Enos Martin, a local farmer, never got notified. They violently arrested him three times on the same charge, twice on the same day, and a third time weeks later in front of his crying wife and young children. He ended up in hospital, filed a complaint to charge the officers for assault. His charges got dropped. Now, the one thing about the last time that Enos got pulled over, they were going from the farm down to Hanover, I believe, Ontario, to do some shop and got pulled over. The cop demands he get out of the vehicle. His wife was driving. And Enos has young children who are not registered, which pisses off the corporation because they can't access funds from them. These are just farmers, right? But they understand what the hell is going on. And they want no part of it. They're not lawbreakers. They just don't feel the need to be controlled by corporate bylaws, so to speak. But his young children, this is a really sick story. So his young children are crying their eyes out because daddy's being kidnapped on the side of the road by this guy with a gun and put in his SUV. The kids don't know what's going on. They're freaking right out. We want our daddy. Now, Enos tells the cop, he said, "Look it, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I got an arrest warrant for you." "No, you don't," right? So he ends up calling his lawyer from the SUV, and eventually he's let go. But he was handcuffed again. I believe he was, or maybe he wasn't, because his arms were already cut up from the time before. So I can't remember if it was certain for certain if he was or wasn't handcuffed this time. I think he was. We just don't make sure them cuffs are really, really, really loose. And Enos has huge wrists. But anyways, so they go on their way, and then they get a call from the police. This is how bent these assholes are. Then he gets a call from the police. The police would like to come out to the farm. Now, why would the police like to come out to the farm? Well, the police are concerned that maybe the children might have got the wrong attitude about the police, having, of course, kidnapped their daddy on the side of the road with a gun. And they were concerned about that, so the police were suggesting that they should come out and speak with the children, and possibly they could have a barbecue. True story. This whole thing is out of whack. Anyways, back to the story. The arrest warrant for George Hugh Bothwell was made public by the West Grey Police and Owen Sound Sun-Times. No success. A Facebook page, Find George, achieved only humorous postings, and George Hugh Bothwell was not to be found, despite Geo happily living and farming at home. And that's true. George and them never quit farming. And the police know all the property George owns. They know George ain't lit off to Georgia. He didn't go anywhere. They could have served him his summons to court any time they wanted, but they didn't. But they're a little nervous about George too. It's like they're really nervous about Enos now, and they're a little bit nervous about George because, well, they threw George in jail for 165 days and even for no crime, and dragged his ass all over the province trying to get him to sign paperwork, which he refused to do, and eventually had to let him go. These are farmers, folks. Farmers. Ken McPherson is the West Grey detective in charge of investigating the failed spy camera affair. Was in attendance as a peace officer at the raid October the 2nd, 2015. He laid the charges and issued the arrest warrants for the five accused. He suddenly resigned from West Grey Police and deleted all his emails on the police computer, according to a response from the police department after a Freedom of Information request had been filed. This has been going on for 23 frickin' years out at the farm. Raids and court cases after court cases after court cases. And I'm proud to say these guys are all standing. And they ain't been found guilty of anything. So this is what he's looking at for tomorrow. This Friday might be the highlight of the Walkerton trial. Ken McPherson will be on the stand. He will be exposed to the scrutiny of cross-examination by the defense. He has to answer a lot of open questions. He, after all, requested the arrest warrants. He decided who to charge. He did not find George. And then he suddenly retired from West Grey Police and his emails disappeared from the police computer. We had four witnesses so far. It would be more than interesting to see how the prosecution wraps up their case. So far, we have not seen a lot except highly entertaining video evidence from the raid itself. It must be fun working for the government and get paid for it. And doesn't matter if you're doing something wrong or not. How long will this trial go on? Who knows? This Friday and Monday are the only scheduled days, which does not leave any time for the defendants to lay out their evidence. This trial, believe it or not, will be longer than our main milk trial in Newmarket 8 years ago. It saves money instead of going to law school because for us, this is training on the job. Every day we're in court, we are getting better to play the game of cat and mouse or hide and seek. Maybe after all, this is just theater to distract us from the reality of life. And it's true, these guys are getting very good in the courtroom, okay? They're not intimidated, and they've been in court for so long, and there was two constitutional lawyers that went to bat for Michael and others over the years. So they have really, in 23 years, they've really got to understand the legal system, which is the corporate system. And they do very, very well in court. They look much more comfortable than those accusing them. And I think that's starting to bug them too. So come to Wacker, instead of going to Stratford, Shakespeare Theater is dead. Shakespeare is history. The Wacker trial is real life with real people playing themselves, real police protecting us from ourselves, and real drama in slow motion. Come to Wacker and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta fanfare. And it's free to attend. I already said that. So, you know, Michael and them are not, so they're not happy campers. Make no mistake. I mean, Michael has basically lost everything since he came to Canada. And all he did was want a farm. And, you know, he doesn't own the farm anymore. It's been off to a co-op. Michael, they have the right of the house, but you know, and all that kind of stuff. But basically, he's farming like he wants to do, and standing up for what's right. And that's the most important thing of all. And these guys don't get intimidated. And they shouldn't. You know, I'm sure Michael over the years has been told by many friends and family, Michael, why don't you just lay down? Forget about the stupid milk, right? You know, if you want to get milk, go get quota. Well, then I won't be producing milk, will I? And it's all about the principle. It's all about the morality of what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, I remember Michael one time at the courthouse, he was reading some disclosure from the police. I don't think it was on this case. I think it was on the camera case where they had put cameras out in front of Michael's farm across the road to spy on them. And that's another story, another court case. But, of course, they ended up walking out of that one without being found guilty. And they best be found not guilty in this one. I see no possible way that they could possibly be found guilty. We have perjury on the stand by the star witnesses for the Crown side. We have a policeman, McPherson, I believe it was overheard getting his hair cut one time, that they were going to get Michael, right? That's the whole plan, get him. And saying that in public while getting his hair cut. And the fact that he resigned immediately after the charges were laid and erased all the evidence off his computer, all the emails between the different parties as they were attempting to get Michael. So I'm going to throw this story in here. And again, if you're near Wacherton, tomorrow, slide on by. The only problem with this story is it doesn't sound like this trial is going to end tomorrow. It was supposed to be a 5-day trial, which would have been, I think it would have, what was that, February, March the 6th, and then Michael was ill like a dog on the first day, so they rolled that over to Thursday, or maybe it was Tuesday, whatever. There's a couple days anyways they didn't do anything. So they got, like tomorrow is day 5 of actual trial time, and it was supposed to be a 5-day trial. But now, by the sound of it, this thing is going to go on past tomorrow, because it says this Friday and Monday are the only scheduled days does not leave any time for the defendants to lay out their evidence. It says this trial, believe it or not, will be longer than our main milk trial in Newmarket 8 years ago. Now, I attended that the last day, and the judge in that case, I forget how many, was it 19 charges or some damn thing? The judge acquitted Michael on all charges, basically stating that everyone has the right to enter into a private agreement outside of the government. So if you have two consenting adults and one adult says, I hear you have milk. Yes, I do. And I understand it's not pasteurized milk. That's correct. Well, I understand that it has certain health benefits. Well, it seems to be, and it seems to be proven through research, yes. I'd like to purchase some. Now, that's an agreement between two adults, two consenting adults. And according to the judge in Newmarket in 2010, that's fair game. But what this is about, it's not even about the milk, right? It's about the distribution of the milk. Okay? I can go out to the farm and drink milk till I fall over. You know, I have a big white milk mustache. Yee-haw. But if he puts it on a truck and delivers it to me, uh-oh. Because the Milk Marketing Board has the monopoly on marketing milk and distributing milk. And the government or the monopoly corporation, so to speak, doesn't like competition. That's what this whole thing's about. It's not about health. Do you think anybody in the government gives a shit if you fall over dead in the morning? I mean, they'll assist suicide you, right? They're trying to make everybody non-productive through their LGBTQ thing, through the Planned Parenthood thing. Do you think they actually give a damn if you fall over dead? Not a chance. This is about monopoly. And that's all it's about. And Michael is basically challenging that monopoly. So they bring all the resources of the corporation slash country slash just us system to bear upon anyone that would have the gall to stand up to them. It's been a 23-year struggle. The wasting of millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And what's been proven to date? Nothing. Nothing. I remember I sent a letter to Michael. I found a letter and email rooting around one time after he was acquitted in 2010. And it was basically from Mark Melgren board, the government, and all these people saying, we can't let this stand. We have got to appeal this. Because it was a threat to the monopoly. And so from 2010 on, it's all about, we got to, that's when they changed really over to distribution. It started out as you can't sell raw milk in Ontario. But once they worked their way around that, and Michael's never, he's not a criminal by any stretch of the imagination. What's the problem? Well, you can't do this like this. Okay. All right. So they sit down and they study it. And they said, okay, well, according to your rules and regulations, we can do it if we do it this way. So they do it this way, and they say, damn. Then they try to come at him from another angle. Michael has been trying to work within the system, working to get, and Michael has all of his milk inspected, make no mistake about it. He's very meticulous about this. And he pays for the inspectors, but he is worried that, you know, people will just start selling raw milk with no inspection, and he's not up for that. And so he's been trying to encourage the so-called government / corporation to put in a inspection system to ensure that the farmers that are selling raw milk are diligent and make sure that the product they're putting out is safe. The government won't go there, because if they do that, then they open the gates. And the farmer can make more money by selling out the gate than he can to the milk marketing board. He doesn't have to buy quota for cows and yada, yada, yada. And he's free. He's not free inside the board. The board's got the stick to tell them what to do, when to do, and yada, 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 yada. So, you know, again, if you're near Wacherton, this is a great Canadian story. I hope somebody makes a movie someday. I mean, this is a struggle of honest, good men and women doing what they know is right, standing up to the principles that they know are correct, and standing on their moral platform, if you will, foundation. And the government, by definition, because it's legal, is amoral, it's adversarial, which is satanic, as is the just us system. So this is good against evil. This is David against Goliath, if you will. And Michael and those involved with the farm are still standing. I don't want to take any, I don't want anybody taking this lightly. This is important. This is what each and every man and woman in whatever nation you're in needs to be a part of. Not just his milk, but I mean, to stand your ground. Just because they tell you something doesn't mean it right. Just because they tell you to lay down doesn't mean you're going to lay down. So give that story a read. It's pretty good, actually. It's damned accurate. He could have went on with that for a long, long time, because there's a lot of nuances and stuff in there. But the thing that I wish he would have put in there is about when the police phoned Enos and asked if they could come out, because they were concerned with what thought the children might have of the police after what they did to Daddy, and maybe we could have a barbecue and sit around and show the kids that the police are actually the good guys. That just about make me want to gag. And I hear music, which means we're out of here. So if you can't get to the trial, you know, think about it. Support it in your mind. And we'll be back Saturday night to find out what happened. Take care, everybody. We are out of here. Sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back. It's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they mass or cocaine, they burn.